today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The misfit level of team members now is, I hate to say this,
they're boring.
But we're the misfits.
Okay, I get it. That I understand that too. I understand that too. We need to get a broken intern is what we need to do. We need to get someone that we
look
can exploit
for the broken.
I think Carla is getting him to run like a little grift or something going on where he's going into school and he's like going to the first graders and saying, I'll trade you this, knowing that he's going to give up like a valueless card for something that's spectacular. I understand you're giving a very special person a pampering facial today.
Well, it depends. I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm going to try to get him to get a hydrafacial.
Okay.
We will see.
What about what about the back?
He just walked in the door.
He just walked in the door. So, I mean, is he there now?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
All right. Hi, Dennis.
Mike is so good to hear.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show. That has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Orcas Island, Washington, Brantford, Connecticut, Medford, Oregon, Cape Coral, as Jimmy Cerrito used to pronounce it, Cape Coral, Florida. I'm going to Cape Coral, and then I'm going to Punto Gordo, Point Reyes Station, California, and Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. The Mike O'Mara show is on the air. And down one because I got a call from Oscar last night that indicated Mr. Rob Spiewak feeling a little under the weather.
Yes.
Hopefully he's okay. I guess you got another.
I got a text.
Semi cryptic. You can turn that down, Pony. Thank you.
Pony's on the one and twos. You're welcome, America. My concern for Rob is.
It's just one little second. Yeah.
Yes.
Pony, turn it down!
There you go. I did that. Okay.
Thank you.
So.
Sometimes that literally is the only way it's going to happen.
Hey, we're on the same page.
Unless I do that.
Yeah, tough love.
Sorry about that.
Happy St. Patrick's Day first. Let me start with that.
That's right.
Let
happy St. Patrick's Day. I see you've got a touch of green
touch
in
of green.
Your vest.
I married an Irish woman by design.
She came by when she was doing a camera check before the show started, and she had a little green feather in her
hair.
A little feather boa. She looked adorable. You know I adore your wife.
Yes,
and then
great.
She gave me the TTLY see you later thing when she left, which was adorable as well. She lifts my spirits when I see her on
me,
camera.
Today, mine as well, Mike. As she woke up, she's like, it's St. Patrick's Day. Get up. We're going to be late. Mike's going to be pissed. I said, all right, let's go.
Well, no, I mean, I allow now.
Yes.
I've gotten myself into
it's a new world. I said,
a zen place now. Yeah.
So have I. Mike saw me melt down before the show today. And then I came back in and I said, woosah for your Bad Boys fans out there. And
what's woosah?
Woosah is from Bad Boys 1, 2, and 3, where really 2 woosah comes into place at a high level. And
what does woosah mean?
Martin Lawrence's character is in therapy, and his therapist told him when he gets upset or tense to say woosah, woosah, woosah.
Okay. But everything's fine.
It's a mantra. Yes.
Everything's fine now,
everything's
right?
Fine. Everything's fine. I just can't. I don't want to get upset the way I used to get upset.
Well,
so
here,
I took 5.
Let me go first.
Yes.
All right. So we have our responsibilities.
Yes.
All right. The responsibilities of. I'm going to go through them in order.
Please.
I will go through them top down through the
Please.
Show.
Yes.
You are involved in a second enterprise, and so your role is different than the people on the show. Everybody except for me has responsibilities at the headquarters for the Mike O'Mara Show,
correct.
Which is Podville Media up in Washington, D.C. But the way it goes is Mike O'Mara responsible primarily for content on the show.
Yes.
And organizing that content and providing that.
And may
content.
I say, you do a fantastic job.
God bless
yes.
you. And then Rob Spiewak, responsible for Soundtown as far
yes.
as a regular feature on the show.
Correct.
And then playing the elements into commercials, out of commercials.
Correct.
Starting the show,
correct.
Doing
yes,
all of that.
Yes.
Now, when Rob is not here, there should be a protocol for whoever is here running the elements for the show. That's where the malfunction
there is. And that protocol was not addressed. And, you know, I don't think it.
We now, need when to- you say not addressed, it, what is normally the way when you can, because you've run shows
yes,
before
I
with
have,
the elements.
Yes, yes.
You slide into that chair.
Yes.
What happened today?
Well, I'm on my way to work. I receive a text. Well, I'm timed today, by the way. Thank you. Where it says Matt Bloom, my friend Pony Boy, I affectionately call him. He says, I have a hard drive with all the elements for you. And then halfway between Prospect and M Street, in the Volvo, I know, classy, have an aneurysm in the car where I said, what am I going to do with a hard drive? I know that the hard drive has elements in it. I know all... I'm expecting a backup iPad laid out for me so I can push buttons like I usually
thought
do.
That's the way it was always done.
Correct. So,
right. Well, hold on. Wasn't that the way it was always done?
That's the way it should be done. That's the way that Dad did it. That's the way his pappy did it. That's the way we should do it.
But you come in and there's a little screen and you just press the buttons.
And in the days of the little engine that could, which is still the Mike O'Mara show, but not with a parent company like Podville Media, which has hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of equipment on premise. Actually, you know what? Millions of dollars of equipment on premise. Let me check that. I know the answer to that. It would make sense to be like, okay, let's MacGyver this solution. But all we have are solutions for, do you need another device? Here's a brand new one in a box.
All right, you're rambling. Let me ask you this. When you talk about coming in here,
yes.
the way it used to be, when you would come in, you would have...
An iPad
to and
play
you would
the
press
elements
the
off.
Elements.
Yes,
that was not provided with you today.
It was not provided, which
that's,
I'm
that,
which is fine, except for when somebody says to you, usually play it off your computer. And I said to Matt Bloom, Pony Boy, in my life, would I ever feel comfortable just playing things off iTunes? Because we all know that Apple Music is garbage to try to play
right.
something off of.
Have you, Pony? Are you there?
I'm here.
Have you used a computer in the past to a nice little coffee cup, by the way?
Thank you.
Have you in the past used your computer to play the elements for the show when Rob hasn't been here?
In the past, I have played certain
elements.
No,
talking to Oscar.
Oh.
I'm talking to Oscar. I just want you in on the conversation.
Yeah, we want you to contribute.
Okay.
So you have done that before, Oscar? Are you okay?
Matt, you can answer. I'm not going to answer for you.
I remember in the past once or twice where Oscar has played elements from his computer.
Yeah. It's in the before times.
Yes.
And I'm not talking
absolutely.
About before pandemic. I'm talking about maybe prior to 2015.
Oh, yeah. This was back at the old studio for sure.
So how were you thinking it was going to work today, Pony?
I thought he was going to play some elements from his computer, and okay. I would help with the other elements because we have beds and promos together.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that the way you understood it, Oscar?
No, because I play both of them. And we never, timing-wise, it would not make sense for two different people to play two different elements in the same room.
So you're running the board, basically. You're running the sounds for the show. That's
correct.
The way you wanted to do it.
That's the way I wanted to do it.
Then we had to switch things around because something was screwed up.
Correct. And that's fine. Okay. But what drives me nuts, and for you little TMOSaholics out there, this has nothing to do with Matt, but if you really want to F with me, you tell me something that's not true, and then you tell me enough times with enough conviction that I start thinking that I'm the crazy one, or I'm like...
That you played everything off of your own computer.
Yes.
Which you didn't.
No. Why would I ever want to do that?
So it was a little confusing
yes.
With one of us. And normally it's been my experience that Especially if there's a vacation or somebody's going away for a long weekend, then we've got it together. Today was a little,
I got the call. I got the call about Rob last night from Rob. Said, "Hey, I'm not feeling so hot. I'm going to keep you guys posted, but will you please? And I hate to do this to you, but I'm not going to be able to come in tomorrow. And will you please call Mike and let him know that this is the case? And I'm sorry to do this to you guys." And my first answer to him was like, "Take care of yourself. Is it
which
COVID?
We always
yeah,
do.
People go to the know. ER. Whatever you need to do, we'll work it out.
Behind the scenes, we truly care about each other, yes. And health comes first, yes. And all that. Now, with that said, we also can go back to being our bastard selves when things get a little crazy and kooky. Can I ask you, when he left, did you see him before he left yesterday?
So, in fairness, Rob left work yesterday around 3 p.m. and he never, like 3 or 4 p.m., he never leaves early, ever, okay. ever, ever. He said, right. "I have a splitting headache. I feel terrible. Is it okay if I go home?" I said, "Of course, we're fine." On my call with Rob yesterday, I said, "Listen, I know we have a protocol in place. Please reach out to Matt Bloom, mm-hmm. and let him know the situation. I'll reach out to Mike, and then we're good."
Oh, you're still back at the technical end of the show with that right now. So, did he reach out to you, Pony?
I did not get a call from him, but I think it might have had to do with him not feeling well.
That's fine.
But yeah.
I get it. My bad. I should have figured that, hey, do your thing. Let me call Pony. We did get a text. We did get a text with the detail.
All right.
He's on it.
So then today he has contacted. Did he contact you this morning?
Early this morning.
He's still not feeling well.
He's still not feeling well. And out of respect to a colleague who said, "Not for air," which is the last thing you want to hear when you give someone information. And I'm no doctor. Remember, I'm the DJ of
I'm
a family
either.
Of doctors.
I'm not.
So I will respect not mentioning what he said to me in the text, because he said not to talk about it on the air.
Oh, God.
But if I was going to make a diagnosis with the detail that he gave me, which said something about a platelet and a T cell, is it AIDS, which there's a cure for now? Congratulations.
No, he doesn't have that, I'm
or
sure.
Or is it something else? And
it's just, yeah. So he's going to take the weekend and get himself healthy.
I wouldn't know. I think he may still be in the hospital for all I know. It was so murky.
Is he in the hospital?
Let me not.
Oh, now if he said not,
I'm not going to read it on the
air. I'm worried about him.
I'm just going to say this.
Edit it so you can honor his wishes.
I'll redact like the government redacts. Okay. What a night. That's not classified. Then he says, not for air yet.
I'll check. I haven't even looked at my.
Not for air yet, please.
Oh,
but,
here it is.
But tell Mike. Yeah. So I'm telling Mike. Okay. From redacted care to the redacted.
Oh, so he really was feeling horrible.
At the redacted room. Am I doing okay?
Yeah, he was sick.
I am redacted with low redacted and high redacted.
And he'll probably tell us all about it on Monday, but he's
all fixable. No problem.
Right. Yeah.
Redacted and redacted okay. He named major organs.
That's
okay to say, right?
All right, okay. So he's really
more tests
under
and
the
observations
weather.
To come, likely redacted and redacted soon. Oh, he goes, ugh. Sorry. Vitals look good. Great. More details soon. Thanks again and talk soon.
Okay, so he's got tummy troubles, and that's what got him out of here. And I'm glad he's taking care of himself, and he's good about that.
I did notice.
We wish Rob the very, very best.
A Costco-sized container of mixed nuts on his desk. Yeah, it could be that. That or the hot
tamales.
Well,
I mean, he's got the same stuff I do. You have to be aware of it. You know, that you have to be careful with the innards. And by the way,
we
all three of us.
We haven't been stressed at work, though. He's been happy.
Buzz and Rob and I grew up in a stressful environment, and we all had digestive issues, and so we always have to be aware of that and monitor that. And nuts can be look, they change about this all the time. One thing you learn about medicine if you get into the system is these doctors will still practice a guessing game. That's what it really ultimately ends up being, a guessing game about what's this, what's this. So we'll hear all about it, and you honored his wishes, and we hope Rob has a very speedy recovery, and we wish him the best.
There is a piece of me, though, that says, because I know where he is, and if he's still there, should I go visit him?
I would find out what the deal is, and he'll probably...
Because I'm a friend.
Yeah.
But a FaceTime is like a visit, right?
But, you know, Rob doesn't, as you said to me last night, he never takes off. He never does that.
Oh, no. I was like, hey, man, are you okay? Like, what's going on?
Well,
now, there is an X factor.
I love him, and I hope he's doing
His son is on spring break, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So he does have family support.
Yeah, I think
that's nice.
You mean he wouldn't have that family support if his son wasn't home from college?
Yeah, he'd be alone. Okay, we both know that.
She'd visit.
No,
but anywho,
she has to teach and watch kids.
This is true. She has to do that. I happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes,
to you,
yes,
and
yes.
We will. I'm very, very excited about. Well,
you're
the
coming
weekend.
Off your facelift last week. Now this, we're falling apart.
I'm going down to the Keys this weekend to visit my sister, and tomorrow is the anniversary of my mom passing, and we're going to be together for that, and I think that's kind of cool. We're going to have a dinner, celebrate her life, and it's going to be a very, very good situation. This day, I remember it as being a kid, where the wearing of the green was a big deal for me, and I grew up in an environment where kids, if they want, there was a period in my life as a child when wearing green was countered by people wearing orange. And I remember it was a big deal. And it was kind of known that the kids that wore orange were doing it to say F you to the kids that were wearing green. It wasn't like fights in the hallway in school, but it was something that I was aware of. And then it just moved on. And it's, it's more for kids when it comes to actually wearing green. The heading out to the bar and drinking is for the grown-ups, but the kids like to wear green. And I have to tell you about my kid's outfit when he came out of his bedroom today.
Aww.
It was so special because we're picking him up early from school.
Yes.
We're going over to the St. Patrick's Day home opener for the Boston Red Sox in spring training, which is great.
Go Sox, go.
Go Sox, go. And he comes out and he says, Dad. And I just see him coming around the corner. He's got a little Red Sox jersey on that's almost getting tight on him because he's had it for so long. And then he's got Kelly Green shorts on.
Great.
And then underneath the jersey, his T-shirt, he's got a Leprechaun T-shirt.
Mr. Personality.
That's my boy. Yeah. I
love it.
My day. That made my day. I love that. And I see you've got the
Yeah, I got a green stripe. Shan's got a green dress on. She's got the little hat on. Pony's not celebrating. I don't know why. He's agnostic.
It's an amateur day. It's another amateur day when it comes to drinking.
For you, though. Look, you went all in. You bought an Irish pub and ran it. Some may say into the ground, but ran it.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
There's others.
Drank the profits.
Others may say.
A place to party.
Others may say. Well, you met Carla there, which is great. She had a fake
No,
ID.
I didn't meet Carla there. I met Carla at another bar. I did not meet
story.
Her there.
It's a better story.
I didn't meet her at my bar.
When
no,
you busted
I did
her
not.
For a fake ID and said, hey,
no,
little lady.
See. Oh, my God. Shut up.
You want a drink here?
No.
I can make that happen.
Not how it went. She was at the age of majority. She was, she was well into her 22 year. God damn it.
You and your girlfriends want to come here, no problem. I can make that.
No, didn't happen like that. No, that's what the fantasy would like to be.
So when you were younger and in New England, and this is sad, I don't even have the context. I know a little bit of the history, but when I went up to a Catholic school, it was kiss me, I'm Irish. Kiss me, and I'm not Irish, right? So I'm not playing that
game.
Did
you go to a Catholic school?
For 3 of my 4 years, Mike, yes.
3 of your 4 years in high school?
Yes. They politely
Where
asked
you go
me
in
to
your
leave.
Fourth year?
My fourth year, I went to Sherwood High School. I'm a Sherwood Warrior.
Is that, was Sherwood a high school for difficult children?
No, it was a high school for my father's difficult children. When he said, well.
So he pulled you out of the private Catholic school?
They politely asked me to leave after I had that big party, if you remember, where my parents went to Cancun and I threw my own Girls Gone Wild party where
the parents asked you to leave, or the
administration,
the school authority?
Yeah,
oh, really?
Passed. Yes.
So you were kicked out of your high school?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Your Catholic high school?
Yes.
All right.
That doesn't mean I didn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day for those 3 years I was there.
Did you, but as in high school, was it a thing?
It's a big deal.
In high school.
In high school.
Deal.
That's what I'm asking you. And you're Irish.
I don't remember it being a big deal in high school.
Really?
I remember it being a big deal.
College?
College. It's become, there's a period of time where it ramps up, and that's usually post-college.
Got it.
I remember it was a really, really big deal when I was on the radio. We had a lot of promotions for St. Patrick's Day, including one that I think you and your old radio partner
that's
showed up
where
for.
We signed our first radio contract with an agent at your used your fax machine.
That
with Robert
Eatman. It was a big
Robert
deal.
Eatman Enterprises.
We had a massive
RIP
celebration. That would have been for St. Patrick's Day. I got to American University. I did a term paper on Irish pubs. It was a big deal to me. Early in my radio career, I remember they used to have a massive St. Patrick's Day downtown. It kind of coincided with the rally in the alley that they used
to
have.
Plenty rally in the alleys, let me tell you.
But Rally in the Alley was always around in and around St. Patrick's Day. We had some of the great old Irish bars in Washington, D.C., downtown Washington, D.C. There's a place called the Dubliner, and there was a place called the Irish Times.
Yes.
And I know there were multiple St. Patrick's Days where I would hang out down there. And then later on, as I became an older person and I invested in my own Irish pub, the greatest one I ever had was there where we set all sorts of sales records, where there was a parade that I rode a fire truck. Yep. I was Mr. Irish before I really realized that the town didn't have any use for me whatsoever.
Well, they hate winners, Mike. They hate winners.
They didn't want me there. You know, never felt connected. But I was
Manassas,
under the fantasy that,
For those of you that are Ozark fans.
Manassas, Virginia, suburb of Washington, D.C.
For those of you that are Ozark fans, Old Town Manassas and the inner workings, and this is alleged, I can't confirm this, and I don't want my legs broken, but the feeling I get from Old Town Manassas and the forefathers is the same feeling I have when I watch Ozark. Like, there are ways they want things done, and if you upset that or even rattle that, remember, I worked in Manassas for almost 7 years, Mike.
You had
If you change things, if things move around, if you decide.
Not welcome.
Oh, they do. You think the Smithsonian is stuffed up and they want their own ways.
Let me give you my impression of Deviltown.
Go to Manassas.
Deviltown, Manassas was a reasonable suburb of Washington, D.C. You could easily live in Manassas and work in Washington, D.C., but it considered itself much further away.
Yes.
Much more rural. It was much more of an outsider vibe. It lacked, shall I say, the sophistication of some of the closer in suburbs.
It thought Fairfax or Arlington. Herndon is classy.
Is classier.
Classier.
Reston is classier.
Yes. Herndon's
Woodbridge is not classier.
No. Woodbridge and Manassas are close cousins.
They are very close cousins.
Yes.
And so.
We're really making friends here, by the way.
Going back to. Anybody that lives there.
Matt, you're from there, right? We can talk trash on Manassas. Mike lived there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You grew up there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a product of Manassas.
Totally. And you're right. I mean, Woodbridge, Manassas, that's all that, like, that zone of demarcation where it goes from, like, urban and suburban to, like, kind of trashy.
Yeah.
Like urban sprawl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In the wrong way.
Yes.
But the St. Patrick's Days, when it was new, they didn't have the real Irish pub. And I really wanted to give...
You captured the market.
Not only my name to it, which is as Irish a name as you can possibly get, but then, you know, really make St. Patrick's Day bigger and better. And our first one could not be rivaled. It was just spectacular. And there were great days. And then we had a couple after that that were great, too. Like 3 years of winning.
For those of you in a caste system, what's below surf? That's what Matt Manassas is.
Like surf in a king's court it was fine for a while, but then you realize that it's just not going to be, you're not going to fit in, which is the theme of my life. I fit in with my beautiful wife, by the way, who will be featuring here in About 10 minutes.
I can't.
Because we have to check in with Dennis Murphy, who is getting a pampering facial from Mrs. O'Mara today.
Live.
God bless her real good. But I didn't really feel like I fit in there. I don't feel like I fit in anywhere. I love my family. I love my home. Where will I ever be where I'm 100% comfortable? Don't think it's going to happen at this deal. But I had a good run in Manassas.
Yes.
It was fine.
Yes.
And St. Patrick's Day was a big thing. Since I've had the bar, I look at St. Patrick's Day the way I look at New Year's Eve. Amateur night,
you're jaded.
Much too old for that.
You've seen multiple different angles already. When you were in college, at least at WVU, I can tell you my experience. It is, if you had class that day, you don't go. You go to the bars because there are specials that start in the morning like they do in big metropolitan cities.
Well, I should mine opened at 6:30 in the morning. I opened at 6:30 in the morning. Yeah. And I had guys that got there in line at about 5:30 to get into my joint, and cold.
It was the green beer. If you were at the right bar, not my thing, too scared, you would do green balloon whippets. You could walk, like, it's a free-for-all.
Free-for-all. It is a free-for-all. It was a fine day. A fine day. And because it was Thursday, St. Patrick's Day falling on a Thursday most often, then, that would roll into a Friday, and then it's a lost weekend. It's a lost weekend of hangovers and all that stuff. So happy St. Patty's.
Can I dovetail just briefly? I know we have a little time here.
Yes.
As you probably know, the majority of the Northeast is now going back to a hybrid work schedule. And we are noticing that impact now in the District of Columbia.
What do you mean by a hybrid work schedule?
Where
home
most,
and office?
Most companies are saying it's a flex schedule. Come in at least 2 to 3 times a week if you want to, or work from home, decide what you want to do, but they can finally bring people back to the office. So the city feels like a city again. I'm hoping to see some revelers downtown going to bars. That'll be great for business and just everyone's morale. I wanted to ask you, and I had this epiphany yesterday walking around with our friend Charlie Burney. Is the new work week, how Friday was Friday night in the city?
Yeah.
Will Thursday now be the new Friday night, and will Tuesday now be the new Monday in the city because everybody's here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
I hope so. I think it would be better. I think with COVID and with the potential of World War III staring at us, we need to do more celebrating and in human interaction of a lighthearted nature. And I think if you went to that, especially when you talk about a hybrid schedule where people are working from home and people are working in the office, I think that would be spectacular because you'd be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday would be wonderfully productive, wonderfully happy, and people would be happier. I think it's the human condition. It goes back to the Lover Boy song, working for the weekend. Everybody wants to do that. If that is the case, do I know it will be? No, I don't. But I would love it to be. I think it would be special.
It would mirror college when the weekend started on Thursday.
If I gave you my American University schedule, the weekend really never ended. Here it is. Here's what it is. I would have a 6:30 class, 6:30 p.m. class on Monday. All right?
Yes.
I would have a full load of courses on Tuesday morning and Thursday morning. That would be my set craft. By set of classes. So I would have Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesday night was 61 WAMU Night at the Tavern. And then we spent the day on Wednesday. I think I had maybe 2 afternoon classes. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that was the bulk of my classes, with 1 in the evening on Monday night, just in time to get it out of the way and get back for a Monday night football.
And this is how, and this makes complete sense. You have been building your foundation for your tolerance for any type of beer since you were 18.
I have managed my schedule around my weekends since I was a sophomore in college.
You could crush in the Manassas days. You could crush a 30 pack, and it would be, you'd be fine.
Absolutely, you would no be problem fine. At all. My work schedule says all you need to know, especially when I was into my 30s and 40s.
Wow.
I would sit there and I would have, we were on the air at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
If I was wobbly for a 3 p.m. show, It was because something amazingly different had happened. Denny Hamlin, NASCAR racer,
I love this
in my kitchen at 5 o'clock in the morning. That was the only time that I came in the next day. I think it was a Thursday and was a little logy. And, you know, and people were a little concerned about me, but I made it through the show. 3 p.m., it was the incredible schedule. If I had maintained that schedule till today, I would be dead.
That is fact. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Dead. I
would
be
always
in the room.
Impressed.
I'd be in the room next to Rob.
You'd have a celebration on your deck, and I look over, and there'd be a box of beers just empty. And I was like, is that all you? He goes, yeah. I was like, you look like you're fine. He goes, oh, this is just water to me.
Yeah, well, you'd been at that house multiple times,
yes.
And it was great. But St. Patty's Day was a work day for me for that,
yes.
that number of years. Would I celebrate? To a degree, but you don't celebrate that day when you're trying to help out and manage and mm-hmm. see what everybody's up to. But it was just a celebration of that many people descending upon a place with my name on it. And I never mentioned this on the show, but it was a dream of my dad's to have a little mm-hmm. Irish pub. And I think a lot of Irishmen, you know, everybody at one time in their life wants to do that. Many people, I shouldn't say everybody. And it was cool to have it. Would I recommend the job to somebody who's not in it to win it? Absolutely not. I wouldn't say if you're not in it to be there where that's your job, you're going to have a
that's
tough
a tough
time
business.
Of it. And Jimmy Cerrito would be the greatest example
Mike,
of that.
Maybe we're making too much. I don't think we're making. This is the first St. Patrick's Day where we actually say, go out, stimulate the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the first
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Right.
And it's the first one we're able to do this.
And I think it's special.
Yes.
Isn't that special?
Get out there. Don't That's worry right. about Ukraine. Don't worry about Russia.
Go have a good time.
Just go and have your good. Just turn your brain off for maybe an hour.
Now, down the road here in where I am in West South Florida,
yes.
there's a young lady who runs a company called Derm Glow Skin. Hello, honey. How are you? I know you can't hear Oscar, but
you're in speaker.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
I understand you're giving a very special person a pampering facial today?
Well, it depends. I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm going to try to get him to get a Hydra facial, but we'll see.
Okay.
We will see.
What about the back?
He just walked in the door.
He just walked in the door. So, I mean, is he there now?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
All right. Hi, Dennis. I hope people can hear. Oh, Dennis, you made it to Florida. How's your vacation going?
Good.
That's great. And you're in the lovely little facial studio of my wife. And are you looking forward to it, Dennis?
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to call it giving me everything I'm giving it.
She's the best, Dennis. I'm going to relay a question because I've got you on my handheld phone right now from Oscar Santana. Oscar, what do you want to know?
Ask him if he's gotten tickets to the game yet.
I'm not going to ask Oscar's question.
Just ask him.
There.
Okay, any question.
All right, he wants
to
know if you've gotten tickets to the game yet, you bastard, Oscar.
I'm good.
He's not going to the game. He's cool. Dennis,
I went to the Nationals game.
Yeah, you're a Nationals fan. Enjoy your morning of pampering, and I hope you enjoy it as much as everybody that's been in that chair has enjoyed it.
I'm going to enjoy it. Hopefully I'll get a...
Dennis,
what the hell?
Oh, God.
Gross.
Carla, oh, no. All right, goodbye. Jesus Christ.
Bye.
Oh, God. All right. I didn't say it.
Dennis Murphy.
Oh, that's nasty.
Just ask your wife for a happy ending.
I know. We're not
this
going
is the
there.
Life we live. This
we're
is the life we
there.
Live, people. This man just wants to feed his family. His poor wife is slaying the dragon. She's has this like, just wonderful... gem of a man that, by the way, we didn't ask him to
throw
do that.
Up in my, no, we did not. That was not a
funny
joke.
Which is so disrespectful.
It's so totally disrespectful.
On so many different, this
she
is
has
why,
every right to kick him out.
This
right
is
there.
Why we don't let you all breach the perimeter.
All right, we got a break. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry, Mike.
What a morning. Hey, nothing you could do about it. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we've got the homepage. And then later on, I want to talk about the Lakers miniseries,
yes.
which is interesting on multiple levels. And, I'll try to get that out of my head. I don't think I'm going to get out of my head for a month. Oh, my God. We got in so much trouble when we maybe even alluded to that. My life sucks.
If you missed the latest bonus show, you missed a lot.
Hello, America.
It's a spicy day for the hot tamales.
This is a garbage idea.
Turn your radio down.
Is this me?
Do you have a favorite color?
No.
Tony, can you get me tickets to see Rogue One?
No, I can't.
It's a different energy.
The TMOS bonus show is your only chance to get that fifth hour of comedy power, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Try a week, a month, or a whole year. Your support keeps that comedy train chugging. Get your subscription today. Click the bonus show banner now at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Thank you very much, Jim Amato. This portion of our show is brought to you by Cornerstone. The conflict in Ukraine has caused mortgage rates to suddenly drop. This means mortgage applications have surged recently as people prepare for higher mortgage rates. And with this latest dip, you could save hundreds per month. And if you wanted to use the equity in your home for any reason or simply to remove your monthly mortgage insurance, the time to act is now. You need to call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Whether it's a purchase or a refinance, the low rate window is closing and closing fast. And before you know it, the rates will be higher and you will have lost this awesome opportunity. Why not call and see what they can do for you? With their no obligation rate quote, you may be surprised how much you can save, whether a purchase or refinance. Call Cornerstone First Financial, the number one choice of the Mike O'Mara Show listener. And now, licensed in 41 states. So even if you tried them before, try them again. Call 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. And Pony, I think it goes without saying that we will, of course, edit this show in post-production.
Oh, you bet we will.
To a deal. God. You know, I swear to God, all I try to do is just to have a decent life
here. Be positive.
And bring my thing up here.
You have listeners.
I know. I try. I do. I really do try.
Proposition
I try
your
people.
Wife. I'm so sorry.
So much fun. Thank you.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know.
Oh,
this is the homepage.
No, it's Dennis. It's not anybody else. That's why you're right. You don't let them breach the perimeter. It's official. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck have left Fox Sports, and I'm real happy about this. They're going to ESPN's Monday Night Football, and I can live with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman doing Monday Night Football. I think it's going to be a step up, right?
Huge news.
I think it's great. I think look, Joe Buck, love him, hate him. He's a solid broadcaster, mm-hmm. been there for the big events, been there for
great
the World
duo.
Series, been there for the Super Bowl. Troy Aikman is a good color man. I like this group going forward. I am okay with this move. What say you?
I'm not torn because they're taking a proven commodity and not trying to reinvent the wheel. I was a fan of the old crew, but in the world of sports broadcasting, it's star power.
And unfortunately, look, when you talk about a choice between Chris Collinsworth and Troy Aikman, you got X's and O guys
yes.
on both counts. I, of course, have said time and time again, where are the entertainers? We don't have them. So if we don't have the entertainers, we might as well have the star power and the Hall of Famers, right?
And ESPN has a lot to gain here because they have the Monday Night Football. They own that, right? They own that contract. Mm-hmm. And the games have been terrible.
Yep.
And if the games are terrible, at least you have some star power to push it along.
If you're not going to get entertainers, get the star power. I totally agree with you. The no official word on their salaries, but sources have reported that Aikman is making $92.5 million over 5 years, and Buck is getting $60 million to $75
million.
Yeah. So they got their payday.
They're reinvesting.
They've been doing it a long time. The upcoming season will be their 21st in the booth together. Man, time flies. That ties the record set by Pat Summerall and John Madden. They'll make their debut on September 12th.
Mm.
And, very, very interesting. So many teams sucked last year that a lot of teams are making moves, and I'm excited about the NFL. So we'll see what happens. The Ellen DeGeneres Show will end on May 26th. That's 19 seasons of that show. Guests for her final shows will include Michelle Obama, David Letterman, and Zac Efron, or Efron.
Efron.
It's unconfirmed, but the New York Post says she will be giving millions of dollars in bonuses to her staff before she heads out the door.
Well, the controversy during the pandemic, and it's just, she didn't want to leave at 19. She wanted to leave at 20 or 25. Mm-hmm. But she's taking her ball and she's going home, because
will she surface somewhere else?
She will. But if you recall, and for Americans that don't remember, you shouldn't. It's her. The majority of her staff had alleged, senior staff, that she was a tyrant and hard to work for.
And she had tyrants down the chain.
Correct.
So there were people that were abusing staff and doing a bad job. But it's a pressure cooker in the broadcast world. But usually when you've got that kind of star power and you're making that kind of bank with this, you mind your P's and Q's, and there's a little insulation. Not only was Ellen alleged to be very difficult to work with, but the producers were as well, and there was a big scandal, and she had to
do
a mea
culpa. Right? Yeah.
And don't you think at that point she probably, that's when she said, F it,
I
don't want to be around
Portia
for this
like,
anymore.
What are we doing? Right. Let's wrap this up. We got enough.
Portia de Rossi. Ooh, like that. All right, this is a little controversial, but you knew it was coming. Netflix might be adding extra fees for you to share your account with up to two additional users outside your household. So not only will you have to pay extra for people to use your account, if you've loaned it out for more than two people, you might have to make some cuts.
This is good.
Like not let them
have it
anymore.
I love this. I love, for personal reasons. My sister and brother, who are wealthier than I'll ever be, at least as of right now, who knows? Mm-hmm. And I celebrate their good fortune. They made the right choice. They became doctors. I share my account with my skinflint brother, and I share my account with my skinflint sister, and they call me at all times to ask me what the password is, and I'm saying, what about breaking off some of your own cash and not bothering the guy that's literally hanging up lights at 10 p.m. at night?
You're Mr. Media, though. You're their Mr. Media, because they're too busy, piling money into their bank accounts to focus on little details like how to get a Netflix subscription.
Right?
That is too funny. Wow. This is what's going to happen. Let's see. They're rolling it out first. And this is interesting for you, Oscar, in Chile, Costa Rica, and Peru. Yeah. Where it'll cost about $2.99. Yeah. There's no word when they might bring it to the U.S. Netflix announced last year that they were going to start cracking down on password sharing, but nobody I know has been caught yet.
My brother is in Costa Rica right now with his family.
Watching Netflix.
Nice little vacation. If he texts me about the password, I'll say, hey, man, I'm not going against big business and big Netflix.
He's watching Inventing Anna down in Costa Rica. Is he really in Costa Rica?
Yeah.
You know, Costa Rica. Do you ever meet any guys? We never talk about this on the show. Costa Rica, beautiful place.
Pura vida, they say.
Ecotourism and all that.
Oh, that's great.
But also,
I've been.
I knew a lot of horn doggies that used to travel to Costa Rica. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right?
Yeah. So if you're single and you have a business trip to Costa Rica, or you're married and your husband or wife is going to Costa Rica on a business trip, might want to check in once in a while.
Yeah, if he says he's just fishing, he might not be fishing for marlin.
Yeah.
Just a little two cents there.
Fishing during the day and at night.
There you go. Is there something you like to eat or drink to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, he asked. Maybe something a little more traditional than a shamrock shake. By the way, I had a shamrock shake about 3 weeks ago. Not a fan. Not a fan of the shamrock shake.
They haven't gotten better.
No, they're not. There's a new rundown of each state's favorite traditional Irish delicacy. Including stuff like soda bread, coal cannon, which I don't even know. It's a side dish of mashed potatoes mixed with cabbage or kale. Sounds good. Ooh, mashed potatoes mixed with cabbage. I'd eat that.
I don't know enough about the Irish cuisine, but every time I go to an Irish pub and I ask for French fries, they look at me like I'm an a-hole.
Why?
Because they have a menu that has nothing to do with anything but Ireland.
No, I mean, we serve fries, and I think all of the St. Patrick's Day dishes that you'll get in an Irish pub, like corned beef and cabbage or shepherd's pie, I've always found it a little hinky, that it's not really as traditional. Americans eat corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day. I think that's an American thing. As far as the Guinness pie, which brings together the Irish staples of beef and Guinness beer, there's corned beef hash and coddle, which is a leftovers dish that often features sausage, back bacon, chunky potatoes, onion, and herbs. It all sounds delicious. Most of these items were number one in 4 to 6 states, so everything was evenly spread out. Soda bread was the most popular in the Northeast. They had some at Costco last week. I bought some. It
Excellent.
Was phenomenal. Oh, absolutely great.
Do you believe that, and maybe I'm wrong, I always felt like Guinness is such a heavy beer that that's your meal?
Guinness is a heavy stout, but what makes it heavy also makes it good for cooking. Oh. So like a Guinness stew, you can add it like you would add a beer to something like that. It's yummy, yummy. Apple cake is big in the South. Never heard of that. Along with shepherd's pie. I don't think shepherd's pie has anything to do with Ireland.
Mm.
You know, eat what you want. Yes. Enjoy yourself. Yes. Have yourself
shamrock
an Irish
burger.
Coffee. A shamrock burger. Make sure and remember the green beer is the cheap beer. Thank you very much. There. That's all you need to know about St. Patrick's Day. And now a little something, something. A dentist in Wisconsin. Listen, this doesn't surprise
Please.
Me at all. He is facing up to 20 years in prison for cracking his patient's teeth on purpose.
Ooh.
So he could charge them more money.
My
his name
God.
Is Scott Charmley, and he's 61. It turned out he'd been doing it for years, and he wasn't caught until he sold his practice in 2019.
Mm.
The new owners were looking through his records, and things just didn't add up. The average dentist in Wisconsin does about 6 crowns for every 100 patients they see. I would have thought that number would be higher.
Yes.
He was averaging 32 crowns per 100 patients. He'd lie and claim an X-ray showed a crack in their tooth. Then he'd use a drill to actually crack the tooth.
Oh, my God.
And take more X-rays to submit to their insurance. This
Jesus.
Is a bad hombre. He'd lie. And he'd say there was a crack, and then he would bill, this is his total, more than $4.2 million between 2016 and 2019, and that's just for crowns.
Mm.
It's not clear how long he'd been doing this scam, but he'd been practicing since 1986. His license to practice got suspended last year, and almost 100 former patients are suing him now. A jury convicted him last week on 5 counts of fraud and 2 counts of making false statements. He will be sentenced in June. Then he can go to prison and experience prison teeth.
Yes. Yes.
And maybe a different kind of crown. I don't know. I was trying to find a, you know.
Oh,
go
no,
ahead, Pony.
I have
this
an imagination.
This is where you play it, Pony.
I have an imagination.
There it is. Yes, sir. It's, you
That's
know.
That's terrifying, especially if you already hate the dentist.
Well, I told you my other one, you know. I mean, you never go in without a problem.
Mm.
Trust no one.
Mm.
Trust no one.
Mm.
We will take a short break and come back with more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, parishioners. It's me, Uncle Baby Billy Freeman. I want to thank all of you that have supported me by purchasing my Baby Billy's Health Elixir. Blessings to all of you. But I've recently discovered something that's even more potent, and it's my God-given duty to tell you about it. It's the Mike O'Mara Show on TikTok. Beautiful, funny, spiritually uplifting, bite-sized clips of your favorite podcast. Perfect for yourself and for sharing with the congregation of your life. It's based on ancient scriptures and heals colds, flus, straps, even COVIDs. Just search TikTok for Mike O'Mara Show and follow us. Heal the spirit to heal the body. Mike O'Mara Show on TikTok. It's your salvation. Or my name isn't Walton Goggins. Baby Billy Freeman. Amen.
Thank you, Billy. We appreciate it. Baby Billy Freeman. Now, how much we rely on our devices, it's easy to forget about the hardware that we're born with. Like those things on the side of your head.
Mm.
I'm not talking about sideburns. I'm talking about your ears. Just like fingerprints, no two are exactly alike. That's why your earbuds probably cause you some discomfort or even physical pain after a while. Ultimate Ears Fits True Wireless Custom Fit Earbuds from Ultimate Ears are here to change all that. You get a guaranteed perfect fit in 60 seconds. I love them when I'm riding my bike. It's fantastic. They stay put. They feel great. Ultimate Ears Fits actually physically mold to your ear, and it's a perfect fit.
All you have to do is put them in, connect to the app, and watch the purple LEDs transform the earbuds to your own shape. You can play and pause music and answer calls with built-in controls and so much more. If you try Fits and you don't love them as much as I do, no worries. Ultimate Ears offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, plus free shipping, free returns, and a one-year warranty. Use promo code TMOS at ue.com/fits to get your own pair of UE Fits. Remember that website, ue.com/fits, promo code TMOS. All right, TV, TV, TV. I want to do a whole TV segment here because we haven't done it in a while. You and Rob, I believe, were watching Winning, I think it's called, the Jerry Buss.
Yes.
All right. I'm, of course, a sports guy, and I love the go-go late 70s and 80s. So it didn't take me long to get a little hooked on this show. When I step away from it for a while and I think about the era of when it was happening, I think that they are sloppy in their character development of all these different people. You got Jerry Buss, who was apparently this super playboy, womanizing kind of guy out in L.A. You got Magic Johnson, and they're doing a big, deep backstory on Magic. And although I will watch it to the bitter end, I find the whole thing a little bit contrived, especially when it comes to Red Auerbach in Boston being, you know, the that small-minded guy that he was. I don't know. The whole thing. I love John C. Reilly. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge backstory, by the way, on this show and the producers of this show and the fact that Will Ferrell was involved perhaps at the beginning and John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell have had a split. Here's the bottom line on that issue. I know that they've had a split over creative differences and stuff. The bottom line is, John C. Reilly is an actor.
Yes.
John C. Reilly is an accomplished actor. Will Ferrell is a sketch comic. He is. He does silly movies, and he's fine in that, but he's just not John C. Reilly caliber.
I think
when you see, you know, don't you agree?
He felt the deal was snaked. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I read a lot about it.
And Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty, available now on HBO Go. Max, I'm sorry.
Winning Time.
Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. The cast is is just remarkable. The backstory, I think, is intriguing, though it's Hollywood. I feel like somebody's going to get the short end of the stick eventually, and for it to be Will Ferrell is intriguing, but, you know, it happens to the best of us.
I don't believe that. Look, I know nothing about the Los Angeles Lakers. I know the team with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson back in the day had a great winning streak. I know that... it's amazing how many people they torpedo when watch this. They torpedo Jack Kent-Cooke.
Mm-hmm.
They torpedo Red Auerbach. They torpedo Jerry West. And I have to tell you, West Virginia player. Back in the day, look, I know in front of the camera and behind the scenes, totally different things. Back in the day, Jerry West was pretty revered out in L.A.
The basketball world, this does not do him justice at all.
They make him out to be a maniac, a maniac prick. They make Red Auerbach look like an egomaniacal prick.
Mm-hmm.
They make Jack Kent-Cooke look like a racist prick.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's probably true, though. I mean, I hate to besmirch a legend.
No, I don't doubt.
He looks racist.
Being around, when you consider back in the day, the white man's owner's club, do I hold out the possibility that may have been the case?
I'll put it to you this way. I wouldn't bet my life on it, but someone close, yes. If they said, hey, gun to your head or a family member's head, do you think Jack Kent-Cooke was racist? And if we're defining races... you know, it's just clearly racist. Like, he's dropping N-bombs all the time. Like, he's just going crazy. Yes. Now, he married a Latina, or he dated a Latina.
Marlena. By God, thank you very much. This was the absolute best meal I've had. Tell one of those. I'm not even going to do racist.
But he might have evolved into like, okay, I can't be racist anymore. But there was a time in his life that I'm going to bank on he was probably racist.
Red-faced, Red-faced apology to Redskins owner. This is a story I love doing.
Please.
This from the Washington Post, August 9th, 1991. Jack Kent Cooke in Washington Magazine reached an out-of-court settlement yesterday in a $30 million. This is 91 in a $30 million libel suit filed by Cooke, with the magazine agreeing to print a highly unusual apology as well as make a substantial donation to charity in Cooke's name. The lawsuit was scheduled to be heard, blah, 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 blah. In a press release, November 1989, Cooke said the article raised allegations related to game fixing and the NFL and the endorsement of racist views. Oscar, there was something there if this was out there. They said, well, they issued an apology.
Yeah.
And he said that these allegations were so outrageously false that he said that he was forced to take action to refute them.
Mm.
Although no one would talk specifically yesterday, the correction and apology that will run in the September of issue of Washingtonian says it all.
We continue to evolve as a society. And unfortunately, yes, I think we all know people in our lives, especially those that have passed or those that are in the 70s and 80s, that just never lost that chip or evolved into, like, we live in a different society now for the better.
Well, I think you had a lot of old men with lots of money mm-hmm. that were involved in NBA ownership back in that day.
Yep. This show essentially paints everyone as a racist. It's nuts.
This show really does. It pretty much comes down on that, and that's the way it works. And it also paints Jerry Buss in an incredibly positive light, although Jerry Buss was out there in the day living the high life. Yeah. And I think maybe the potential is there. This is a love letter to Jerry Buss. And I don't know enough about it, and I haven't read enough about Jerry Buss to know that. But it's certainly an interesting show. Just, all is not what it seems to be. That's the way I look at it.
Did you ever go to the Forum?
Never in my life. I've never been to the Forum.
I remember as a child not understanding what the Forum was, and then seeing it and finally getting, like, it's growing up and realizing that, you know, not everything's soccer or Tito Puente or Julio Iglesias, and evolving into society. And I felt like the Forum, when they showed these clips of games, was like they make it out to be a mecca for basketball. And it might have been.
I think that he booked large acts into the Forum.
Yeah.
I remember it was the Jerry Buss time when you started having the massive concerts,
mm-hmm.
made money with the Forum, which was able to make money for the basketball team so he could invest in it.
Yes.
And then he had the Lakers, who were, you know, champions for a very, very long time. Here's a fact versus fiction, if you're going to watch Winning
Please.
Time. Did Jerry West quit coaching the Lakers? If you watched the latest episode that was on the other mm-hmm. night, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it.
Oh, no, it's been on forever.
This is a spoiler. Yeah. It's been on. Let me see. Rise of Lakers, then Like Us. You have more questions about the accuracy of the events shown. Was Jerry West really not excited about winning a championship ring? You'd think a guy who lost seven times would be. Was Jerry West not happy about it? It's very verbose about the way it's doing it.
Let's just look at broad strokes. I like how HBO Max is coming out with all this programming, right? They had to compete.
Right.
If you remember 5 years ago, they essentially went to the creative team and said, we've been putting out 4 or 5 shows a year. Now we're going to put out 30. Who's with us?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see with the Jerry. They make Jerry West out to be an absolute monster. So I don't know.
Well, he had to deal with Genie.
Right. He didn't feel any elation until 3 days later. I don't know. It's all over.
He was
the
a child of the Depression.
Right. In West Virginia, poor kid from West Virginia.
Yeah.
And who knows? So check it out. That's the show.
But I like the competitive nature, but the gossip is a little off-putting.
Yeah, and it's interesting. That's all I can tell you. I just watch it, and I know nothing about the subject matter. I really don't. I think it's BS. I think a lot of it is just made up out of whole cloth, but it's fun to watch, and a lot of Playboy bunnies in it as well. So if you want to watch that, go ahead. So we'll see what happens with that. We will take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Bara Show. Whoa, whoa, everybody.
You know how everyone always says that the best things in life are free? Well, that's just communism infiltrating American culture. In America, we pay for things because if we don't, the commies are going to replace every American flag with a hammer and sickle. Do you, our loyal listener, want your independent wealth stolen by Soviet ideals? I think not. So buy the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Pay for your entertainment like a red-blooded American should. Thank you.
Thank you, Dahlia. We appreciate that. Hey, why do flowers bloom? How do caterpillars turn into butterflies? And why is it warmer now? Spring brings along plenty of questions and so many opportunities to learn. It's the perfect time for discoveries. And why do executive producers not know how to run levels?
No.
KiwiCo delivers monthly science and art projects for kids of all ages. And with KiwiCo, kids will explore different STEAM topics each month, ranging from rainbows to rocket ships and everything in between. Michael loves his crates from KiwiCo, and I love watching him stay busy and challenged while having a blast with super cool, hands-on science, art, and geography projects that are delivered every month. Sometimes he even lets me help because I love it too. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy. And I know you got Luca involved in it as well. Oh, isn't that right?
Sebastian.
Sebastian, now even younger, the younger ones.
He called me because he had built a claw like a year ago out of one of these kits. And my brother stepped on it and broke it. He called me crying if I could call the man at KiwiCo for another claw. And what do I do in my busy days? I find the contact at KiwiCo and I say, I'll pay for it, but I need to get another one to Boston Stat. And they sent it.
Oh, good for you, KiwiCo. Yes. That's wonderful. Listen, KiwiCo is great to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo to the rescue. You can pause or cancel anytime. KiwiCo is truly great. Step into spring and celebrate the season of discovery with a KiwiCo subscription. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code TMOS at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code TMOS, and that is a perfect lead-in to a discussion of the very latest. You know, even though you're childless, Oscar, you do like to talk parenting. And
I've got in trouble doing that.
A new development in the O'Mara household. You know, I probably have referenced occasionally Pokemon. That's his thing now that he's into.
Very big.
Michael is into collecting Pokemon cards. Ooh. As a matter of fact, a reward for him. I forgot what he had done. He had done something good. Might have been a report card gift that we took him down to a local hobby store where he went into the back where they had a whole Pokemon section, and we got him a gift pack of these Pokemon cards. Here's the new development because it does involve I'm on the periphery of this.
Yes.
I haven't gotten involved with this. This is how I can explain it. Michael has all his Pokemon cards and a big, thick Pokemon card book on the table, and they're all spread around, and he's doing that. Yeah. And Mrs. O'Mara is there with him, and I'm watching like Wheel of Fortune. Yes. By the way, Wheel of Fortune, where the contestants are getting dumber, like much dumber. Like, I don't have the specific puzzles. I'll start doing it because really they are scraping the bottom of the barrel for contestants for Wheel of Fortune. They cannot solve puzzles. That's a different story. I hear Carla and Michael say, "Well, what about that one? Well, 129." This one's $129. Then I look over because that piques my curiosity. Yes. And I got Carla and little Michael that are going online and they're valuing these cards from Pokemon that apparently are... Pony, you can weigh in on this too.
Oh, no, I'm familiar. I'm very familiar.
They're apparently... some of these jump up in value.
$500,000 cards.
They're $500,000 cards?
There are cards out there that are $500,000.
Pokemon cards.
Yes.
This child's hobby, this toy.
Like baseball cards growing up, there is a market for Pokemon trading cards, which, by the way, if you've purchased the little bonus gifts for little Michael, you know the trading cards, the price alone per pack has gone up through the roof.
Well, they're all expensive, but they're not expensive in the hundreds of dollars until... he started doing this, and now I think Carla is getting him to run like a little grift or something going on where he's going into school and he's like going to the first graders and saying, I'll trade you this, knowing that he's going to give up like a valueless card for something that's spectacular. And I, well, it sound, all I know is I was listening out of one ear and it sounded like it might be a little hinky to me. Just now, a little bit. I wasn't sure.
At the root of it, it's important. And if you, he's dealing, if he's looking at it like a business, it's a nice primer for commerce and trade and negotiation.
If he educates himself about the value of these cards and he's able to go
they
in.
They won't
and,
get bent up. He'll get little cases for them. He'll make sure that they're, if he's, he gets to this point, he might send them in to get authenticated, to get maybe a 10-mint gem authentication. Where
so you know about this.
Oh, I lived this growing up, and I actually, I subscribe to multiple pack breaks. Like when people break open packs to see what, cards are now involved. And for years,
they're called pack breaks.
Yes.
God.
They stream live boxes of baseball cards, Pokemon cards, football cards. And traditionally, people would buy a handful of packs. That's how I grew up. But now, grown-ups and dealers will buy rare boxes of cards. And then they'll open them up on the web, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, and they're very popular. Very, very popular.
Top 15 rare and expensive Pokemon. Okay, cookies. Lick my bag, cookies. Thank you.
But
thank you very much.
You can. It is a big deal. And in the world of anime, I hate to mix worlds, you see these card layouts, even at, I'm sure, at your doll shops, Pony, when you
Bloom,
go out there.
What do you know about this?
I know that a lot of those cards can be very expensive, and I actually saw a video a couple weeks ago of these guys who bought like a $1 million box of Pokemon cards that was unopened, and then went to open it, and they found out that it had been completely opened and replaced with
that's crap. That's Jake Paul. He got grifted, but the dealer who authenticated the box ended up repaying Jake Paul, famous YouTuber, for authenticating what was a fake box.
Well, that's nice.
$21,000 one sold for in November of 2019.
Yeah. Buyer beware, Mike. This is the same ruse that the Topps family brought to us when we were kids.
Okay.
Where I was like, oh man, I got this Don Mattingly. Like, or Upper Deck rookie card, like Ken Griffey Jr. 1989 set from Upper Deck. There's too many of them. And eventually this market, like the crypto market, will, or the non-fungible tokens.
$55,000.
Yes. They're there. And I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, but it's fun for
because
a little while.
Because people think it's legit. You think it's going to crash.
Eventually.
$65,000. Oh, my God.
Like, I buy more into an NFT.
$90,000 July of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a Pikachu with a third leg, if you know what I mean.
So the question I have for you, first of all, what I really wanted to talk about was whether my son is like learning to grift out of this. I don't want that to happen. But my question was, if he holds on to some of these cards, is there a chance that 10 years down the road, when it's college time, these might hold some sort of value? Is there a possibility of that?
He would have a higher probability of success, in my opinion, to sell those cards to the rubes at school and buy a slice of that company called Apple.
Really? You don't think it's going to...
Come on.
What's $150 today could be $10,000when he's 18.
Does your coin collection, did that ever amass?
I never collected. I collected baseball cards because I love football cards because I love football.
I have a Mickey Mantle at home. I thought
you
that
do?
Was yes. It's all it. Trust me, it is jacked up. It's creased. It's worth nothing.
Okay, but it has to be mint condition.
But a
right?
new guy is, and I looked Beckett Monthly. Had to go on the web. All virtual now. I looked during the pandemic because I found my collection during the pandemic again. I was like, oh, this is so much fun. That card is worth $1,500, brand new, like crisp, clean, perfect.
The Mickey card.
The Mickey Mantle card.
In perfect condition, it's worth how much?
$1,500. My card's probably worth $50. We might as well just put it on the web and give
it
away.
Isn't it Honus Wagner? Isn't that the ultimate card?
That's
baseball
the
card?
One guy. We one got card. Nothing. It's the one guy.
Well, this
guy.
One, this Pokemon World Championship promo number two trainer,
yeah,
sold in February of 2021 for $110,000.
Yes.
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I wish my father was more involved than just, and look, this is going to sound terrible, but we would post up at these card shows in these like convention center places, and he would sit outside with the Washington Post. He'd give me cash because he felt guilty for leaving me all the time. And I'd walk in with my sweaty hands and get completely bamboozled.
I didn't know you were
when people would sell me cards that were too, like, essentially, they weren't giving me deals because they were negotiating with a 10-year-old in cash. So I'd run out and be like, look, I got Don Mattingly or Wade Boggs. And I'd be like, that's Oscar. How much longer? How much money do you have left? Do you need more money? Okay. Okay, he didn't care. He just knew that I was going in there and one less thing for him to do. So you get through the Washington Post.
And then you handled it. So you're not supposed to handle it.
Peanut butter fingers. Like, I didn't know about cases. I thought they were too expensive. Like, it's nuts.
All right. The number three, Pokemon Blastoise. Commissioned presentation, yeah. Galaxy Star hologram, blah, 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 Sacco and Vanzetti. Sold January 2021 for $360,000. This is 1920 and 21. We're in the, obviously, the peak of this.
Right? I get it. And maybe I'll be proven wrong when Michael like cracks open a pack and then he's set for all 4 years of college. Who knows? What I really will get to, and I guess where the cards have evolved, have you seen the sports cards where you get a piece of the jersey?
No.
Imagine getting, who's your favorite player of all time? Your baseball.
Carl Yastrzemski.
Okay. Imagine getting Carl, I can't even say his last name. Yastrzemski.
Yastrzemski. No, just say Yaz.
Oh, I'm such a
real. He was known as Yaz.
Yaz. Yeah. Imagine getting Yaz's jersey embedded into your baseball card.
Game incredible.
Game one. Yeah. They do that now. They do that now at a level where they'll take the jersey from the draft day that is given to the player, and you will have a draft jersey when they're in the number one draft and have that embedded in your card.
All right. I've gotten to the number one, at least on this list.
Yes.
I've gotten to the number one expensive, extremely rare. This is referred to on this particular list as the Holy Grail of Pokemon cards. Are you ready?
Ready.
The Pikachu Illustrator.
Does it have fur embedded into it? What does it have?
No, doesn't have any of the yellow, but it's Pikachu. It's sold in February of 2022, recent sales for $900,000.
Yeah.
Pony Boy, what say you? Should he hold on to him or should we just take advantage of this market?
I would hold on to half, you know, diversify. Have a collection and also.
But what he means is you cut them in half.
Yes.
And then hold one half in your house and sell the other half.
Got Pika. You get
I had no idea. I had no idea.
I like he's treating it like a business, Mike. Foster that.
Oh, he's got his mother's love of the American dollar. Speaking of that, I wonder how she's doing. No, I'm not going to interrupt.
You got to call
back.
He's
halfway.
You got to call back.
No, not after what happened before. I'm not going to have that little perv say something horrible like that, which, by the way, will piss off everybody that works in that office.
Yeah, borderline. Problem.
Thank you, Den.
Problem.
But anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We don't have sound down because somebody's hurting. Right now. Somebody's not feeling well.
We don't know for sure, though. Because it's been redacted.
Sure. That's a little gloomy. But anyhow, hope he's okay. We'll take a break and come back with more right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. And hope you're enjoying yourself, everybody.
The Lord loves you. That's why you cry. Busyism. A dog eating grass means the holidays are here. Busyism. A broken rake is a kitchen necessity. If you know the secret, Busyism. Hello, dear people. This is Gary Busey. I played Buddy Holly, but now I offer wisdom. Do you have thoughts you want to share? Then you should be a TMOS talking head. Just email Rob at MikeOMaraShow.com and you could find yourself on a Zoom call with the three wise men of TMOS. Include a phone number and get ready for fun. TMOS Talking Heads, more fun than a Cincinnati margarine rally with extra red hots. Busey-isms.
Thank you, Gary. Legacy Box makes reclaiming your glory days as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just send in your Legacy Box filled with aging videotapes, 8mm film, and pictures, and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand right here in the USA. You get everything back on a thumb drive or a DVD or the cloud. Mm-hmm. Act now. Did you know that magnetic tape was only made to last 10 to 20 years? It can degrade rapidly. And by the way, that 10 to 20 years, that's if it's stored in optimal conditions.
Yeah.
Digitizing your old media stops the fading, preserves it, and keeps it safe forever. Plus, for a limited time, Legacy Box is running a $9 videotape sale. Regularly $27 to $30. The time to act is now. Your memories are meant to be relived, not chewed up by the VCR, if you even have a VCR lying around, or worn away by time. Convert your tapes to digital so you can take them anywhere safely. For a limited time, you can get started for just $9 a tape at this special price. There's never been a better time to convert your entire collection. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS to ship their $9 tape sale. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS to unlock this podcast first offer. It's a great offer. Take advantage of it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara.
I checked in on Rob.
Show, whoa, whoa.
Rob okay, Spiewak out today for those of you just joining us. I said, how are you feeling? If it's AIDS, there's a cure now.
That's
full stop.
So warm and fuzzy. Yes. But he has not responded yet.
No, not yet. I tried calling him this morning. He didn't answer either.
All right. Well, yeah. He's recovering. Yes. That's the way it goes. We wish Rob a very speedy recovery, and hopefully he's doing well. I want to talk to you about the Podville employees.
Yes. Again. Yes.
It's just every time I bring it up, it's another show and the show goes by.
Yeah, just swings
and no
through.
One comes in swings and through. no one just slips in. I thought maybe we'd see your wife today. We don't even
she
see your wife
she
today.
She could come around. She'll
but I mean,
around.
I'm just curious yeah. about the Podville employees. And yes. and I need an honest
answer. Are we firewalling them
answer.
From you? Is
Are
that
you?
The question?
Are you keeping
no.
them from me?
No, it's not. So, yeah, this is, it's tough to, how do I put this? When we're doing the show, everyone like in a regular office environment is starting the day at a breakneck pace.
So technically you are interrupting their workday.
I have to find the right window to just pull in the world of Podcast Village in the past. When we were like finding our footing, there was like sometimes just, oh, can you come help with the cameras or can you come help with so-and-so? Remember, we'd have a lot of interplay.
I understand.
But now everyone is in their office and they're grinding out projects.
When you're my age,
yes,
Oscar, you begin to think about relevancy.
Got it.
And I'm always very acutely aware of my own relevancy. So the question I have for you, if you added up the underlings, people under you,
yes.
specifically, how many employees do we have at Podville right now?
We have 15.
15 employees at Podville. Of those 15 employees,
yes.
I want to break it down into a couple of categories here.
Not including Charlie and I.
Not including Charlie.
Yes.
As far as the employees, the awareness of the Mike O'Mara show, as far as top of mind,
yes.
How many of those employees would be very aware of this show?
13.
13. That means that. Well, that's good. That's
they
a good
all
thing.
Know.
They're all very,
they all know.
They all know the show.
They all know the show.
They maybe follow the show to a degree.
I wouldn't guarantee that, but they know the show.
They know the show.
They know the show.
And then two would be completely like. Unaware of it? Is that the way
they are the two that are unaware are the two that are not in this wing of the building.
Okay.
So they don't get exposed every day to it. But they know that the show is part of our family and they also see it on my calendar every morning.
I think it's pretty obvious that we are a smaller part of the entire Podville Empire than we used to be. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. And, for me, it's all about content. It's all about mining for gold.
Yes.
It's about getting somebody to come by, having somebody else to talk about, having a running gag with somebody.
Jocularity. I agree. I agree.
That's
I,
the thing I'm looking for. And I get the reality. Back in the day, it seemed there would be more cross-pollination,
yes,
where, you know, you'd be aware of somebody that would come through the door at Podville.
Oh, absolutely.
Think they'd be a good fit.
Absolutely.
I did a whole show predicated on,
yes,
that with,
yes,
Chris Freitz a while,
yes,
back.
Yes.
It failed miserably.
Yes.
But, you
I
know,
don't blame
but I
you.
Tried. I what's that?
I don't blame you.
I
for that.
You blame him? You
blame him.
Freight?
Yes, yes. Yes. He was difficult to work with.
You
Hi, Chris.
Said that.
I did say that.
You had said that he was,
yes,
difficult to work with.
I told him to his face. I said, you're a little persnickety. And then and I've worked with persnickety for,
well,
some time.
Well, there was, you know, we were both trying to make a,
yeah,
go of it. And
I
it was
it.
A part-time, yeah, endeavor for,
though,
both of us. You know,
I thought it was compelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been compelling if we got more visitors. I don't know. It was like I was dabbling in it.
Yeah.
This was pre-Trump that,
yeah,
I did the, yeah, the show.
Timing
with Chris
is everything.
Freitz.
Timing is everything.
Do you still keep in touch with him? At,
yes,
all,
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
right.
Why,
well,
I was comfortable saying what I said.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I just think that as we, I am very content with you and Rob,
yeah,
and our little engine here that we,
that
not
could.
The little engine that could.
No,
I hate,
no,
that,
no,
expression.
We're established.
We're doing fine, but I'm always looking,
yeah,
for to feed. I'm a vampire that,
yeah,
way.
I understand that. And don't get me wrong. There are, and Mike, I think I told you off air, and we've established that, you know, off air is on air, which is fine.
Right.
That I have been working on being more agreeable and optimistic with my leadership skills, just, you know, overall. So there are days where old me would have seen something and that has nothing to do with our show and really
brought it right into the
right
studio.
In, but also maybe might have hurt morale overall outside of the studio.
Mm, yeah.
So there's a fine line where
I get it.
You know, do I burn the house down?
I know.
Or do I wait and pick our spots? Now, you meeting everybody, now that our masks are off, makes complete sense.
I don't plan on doing anything, asking anything embarrassing. But for example, on this,
yes,
very show,
yes,
did we not have a moment that was uncomfortable and horrible from a guy back from the 80s who said the wrong thing?
Correct.
A guy that happens to be in a chair right now. So I get it. And I think it's a kinder, gentler world that,
mm-hmm,
we all live in now. That goes without saying. So just to talk to somebody, if they were quirky and they were into,
yeah,
it, I would love that.
Also,
so with that said,
yes, the misfit level of team members now is, like, I hate to say this.
They're boring?
But we're the misfits.
Okay, I get
we
it.
Are.
That I understand that, too. I understand that, too. We need to get a broken intern is what we need to do. We need to get someone that we
Look
can exploit.
For the broken. Seek
is there,
the broken.
Back to the interns.
Yes.
Is there, will there be any slight return to
this,
that world
this,
anymore, or this, is that gone too?
This is what, and I'm happy you're bringing this up. This summer, we have three tentative interns coming in. One of them will work with us.
Oh.
The funny part about interns now is I remember we would, even as in the before times, pre-pandemic, we would be like, bah, okay, you're coming in at 9. You'll be here at 8:30 a.m. This new crop, they want to start at 11. And you're sitting here like, no, like, not on your schedule.
So there is a level of entitlement now
it's
that
so
exists?
It's so strange. Groovy.
Well, that could be fun, too. Look, back in the day, you know, we'd get there at 6 o'clock,
yes,
in the morning, and we'd be tied to a tree by,
yeah,
10:30.
Yeah. It's a healthier
it would be a
workspace now, but it is funny sometimes negotiating people's schedules where you're like, this is a paid internship.
Yeah.
Like, these,
yeah,
are the hours of operation. We're not,
right,
flex scheduling. This is broadcast. It's broadcasting.
Are we paying them, too, to come in?
We would be, yes.
Oh, God. FML.
Okay.
Jeez. Oh, God. That's very unsatisfying.
We need more broken people.
All right. Hey, listen. Great, great bonus show coming up tomorrow,
yes,
everybody. You want to check that out. It's going to be Rob-free. We never know what we're going to talk about on the bonus show.
I have something for us.
You do?
If you want to know how to survive a nuclear bomb, I have the details.
Wow. Hey, everybody's thinking about that now. Sunnier days. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a bonus show tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
Sayonara, sucker.
Wow. You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
What about my asthma?
I'll give you asthma.
The mainstream media has legitimized extraterrestrial life and is basically saying we are being visited. Something is going on.
It's in the hole.
Four, rock, fire, town.
Master Blaster runs Bug Town.
Lift, embark.
I'm a phony, just like you.